Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Is it just me, or on the news they mentioned there that they were going to have a supervisor at the Molly Malone statue to stop inappropriate touching? Now, I seen the videos there last week of tourists, you know, kind of cupping Molly Malone's breasts from behind and smiling for a photograph. It's a bit of fun. It's a statue. How can you inappropriately touch a statue? You know, I'm sure the statue of David has had its penis touched every now and again, by the way, if people can get close enough to it. But I just find that hilariously funny that they're even considering that. Not everybody does it, by the way. Some tourists just do it. Usually lads in a group for a bit of fun. I don't think... Is that toxic masculinity? Is that what that is? On a statue? Oh. Maybe it's just me. You can send us a text, 087-188-0008, if you think that we should have a supervisor standing beside Molly Malone to make sure no one touches her in any inappropriate way. Now, remembering, of course, Molly Malone not existing. It's just a statue. Also, by the way, we will be asking a bit later on, is it acceptable for you to discipline your partner's kids? I.e., if you're a stepfather, stepmother, is it appropriate to discipline them? Also, should sunbeds be banned? We'll talk about that later on. Now, there is obviously restrictions that you have to be over 18. But when we see the evidence of skin cancer, I mean, is it time we just said, look, these things should be illegal. End of. You want to go on holidays, go to Spain, make sure you wear loads of factor, whatever it is. But lying on a sunbed is not good for you. Just is not good for you. And we should ban them. What do you reckon? We'll talk about that later on. But first, here's a debate I've been having since I started in radio 30 years ago. And it's still going on. I remember the Minister for Education, Rory Quinn, even at the time, and that must be 15 years ago, saying, oh, I'm going to sort this one out. He never did. Nothing ever happened. The role of religion in our schools, should it continue to be part of the curriculum or the ethos, or is it time to reconsider its place in our educational system? In Ireland, the integration of religious education has been a long-standing tradition, as we all well know. However, there's a growing movement towards a secular alternative. And for instance, the emergence of the Age of Reason ceremonies is providing non-religious milestone celebrations for children. These ceremonies replace the First Holy Communion for a lot of families. Supporters of teaching religion in schools argue that it kind of fosters some sort of moral development, provides cultural context and promotes empathy among students. They believe that understanding various faiths can enrich students and enrich their perspectives and contribute to a more inclusive society. On the other hand, the critics will say, and they'll contend, that religious education in schools can be undermining of inclusivity and it avoids critical thinking. They argue that it may lead to promotion of specific religious beliefs over others, potentially alienating students from other diverse backgrounds. We want to hear your opinion and what you think. Should religion still be taught in schools in 2025? Or do you believe it's a bad influence on children? Or maybe you believe as a Catholic it's a very good influence on children? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp us if you want to get involved in the conversation. And I have to say, over the 30 years, my mind has changed on this argument at least three times. I go back and forward constantly all the time. So I'll tell you my opinion at the end. But first, I want to get the opinions of Senator Roland Mullins and also Michael Nugent from Atheist Ireland. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you, Niall.
And Michael,
thank you, you're welcome.
Michael, you're there as well. Okay. Roland, first of all, there is an argument that it's an outdated concept. You know, there's less people now practice religion. The Holy Communion, the confirmation takes up school time. And why teach one religion over another when we've become a more diverse society? So where do we put all those arguments?
Well, let's start with the Irish Constitution, which very clearly guarantees that the parents are the primary educators. It also clearly comes down on the side of the homage of public worship being due to Almighty God. It makes
Although they want to remove that, don't they, by the way?
Some do. And they make it clear that, you know, religious institutions can establish organizations. So there's a clear protection there, for example, for the role of religious organizations in education and healthcare. But there's also guarantees that, you know, people should not and children should not be required to attend religious instruction in a faith that is not theirs and so
on.
But
that's a difficult scenario. If you've got, you know, a parent says, I don't want my kid in primary school, particularly. I don't like it. But learn religion. Well, then they become alienated in the back of the class.
That's right. The Constitution was written against the back of totalitarianism in Russia and Germany. You know, there's clear, I suppose, very fact that it originally, for example, mentioned the Jewish faith at a time when terrible things were happening to Jewish people across Europe. at a time when I suppose atheistic communism, you know, threatened to encroach on people's spiritual and personal dignity, where the state had to be everything in people's lives. You know, the Constitution clearly reflects, I suppose, a concern that human dignity is important and that the state has to kind of, you know, guard its boundaries, as it were, and not interfere too much in the life of the family.
But Roland,
the state providing a certain minimum standard, etc. So that's where we've come.
I understand the moral values. By the way, I'm an atheist, as you probably well know, but still, I have huge respect for people who are religious. But would you say that, just before I come to Michael, would you say that religious views, i.e., the belief in God, the belief in Jesus Christ, the stories that are in the Bible, at this stage, many young people are a lot more intelligent than we were. We just believed everything we were told, of course. But now they have access to so much information, and a lot of it is contradicted by history, geography, science. And it's just, they believe it's just not true. And they think we're teaching them fairy tales.
Well, I don't think any rational person will conclude that, you know, what is proposed by faith is the world is as mysterious as it ever was, you know. And growing up in the countryside, I'm constantly reminded of that. If there's a cow calving at night and going out and I'm looking at the stars and so on and so forth. So I think we all have to be a bit humble about our existence. We're in a mysterious place. Doesn't prove what Christianity has to say, but it certainly it proves that there's a hell of a lot that we don't know. And Christian ideas can only make sense to propose them and to offer them through the education system if they are offered in freedom, that people are encouraged to search for the truth. And I think this Christianity is in a very good place in that it proposes an engagement with what is true, good and beautiful. But it is beyond doubt that, you know, we have a system in the country where most schools, a clear, you know, vast majority of schools, if, for example, at primary level, are under formal
Catholic
religious
ethos.
Patronage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has to change so that there is a clear
choice
and greater provision.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that.
Genuine choice,
okay,
among parents.
Let me come to Michael. Michael, you know, I'm not a religious person at all, but I do believe in the values of the Catholic Church and the morals of the Catholic Church, even though I'm not actually religious, because if you even look at the United Kingdom, for example, there's waiting lists to get into Catholic schools by people who are not actually Catholics at all, because seemingly the results are better, the grades are better, people are brought up better. Is that a fair argument, Michael?
Well, the situation is different in England because there is a state secular system and religious schools are an optional extra that parents can choose from. Here we don't have that choice. We only have religious schools. 90% plus of primary schools and over half, up to two-thirds if you count the multi-denominational schools. There are no non-denominational schools in Ireland. Now, what should be taught in schools in terms of religion, and I think this is important, is children should be taught about religions and beliefs to include non-religious philosophical beliefs, which would include atheism, humanism, etc. And they should be taught what people from different philosophical and religious backgrounds believe. But the school, the role of the school, if the school is funded by the state, should not be to tell children that any particular belief is right or any particular belief is wrong. I would be just as opposed if the state were setting up schools and funding schools that actively told children that there's no God. I don't think that's the business of the state any more than it is the business of the state to tell people that there is a God. So I think the key.
So you're looking at the American school system, where in a public school in America, you can't teach any one particular religion. And basically, you want a theology rather than a religious class.
Well, I would take it broader than theology. I would almost put it under philosophy, because religious theology is one version of philosophy. So freedom of religion, conscience and belief as a broader thing. Like what used to be called freedom of religion, increasing in human rights terms, is now called freedom of religion or belief, where the belief aspect refers to non-religious philosophical convictions. So that's the ideal.
But here's the thing, Michael. Can I ask you? Okay, go on. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to make one point in regards to what Ron was saying. Ron was saying, and I agree with him, obviously, that there is a clause in the Constitution saying that every child has a right to attend a state-funded school without attending religious instruction. And that would be the minimum necessary to avoid being indoctrinated, would be to allow yourself to not be taught religious instruction in the context of any particular religion. But what happens in reality is that right is not vindicated. Schools tell parents, you know, either we will sit your child in the back of the religion class, or you can come and take the child away. And so in practice, it's not
difficult.
Being vindicated.
No, it's not. Okay, but I mean, in this world we live in, we have the right and the left. We have the liberals, we have the conservatives. Or if you're in America, you have the Democrats and the Republicans. And that balance is really important in society. The same in the schools. You have the Conservatives and the Liberals. So the Conservatives obviously would be the more religious people, generally speaking. Is it not the job of the Conservatives to stop liberal society running away with itself? And we've seen that recently with the changes in the curriculum, particularly when it comes to sex education, where parents were not happy with the sex education curriculum. And the majority of those parents would be believers in God or religious children. So, you know, they stop us moving forward too quickly.
Well, what the law does state in that, and it derives from Article 44.24, which is the right to not attend religious instruction, and also from the article that protects our freedom of conscience, is the Education Act says that parents can withdraw their child from any subject that is contrary to the parent's conscience or the conscience of the pupil if they're over 18. So that's already there. You do have a right.
But that's difficult. That might be okay in secondary school, but in primary school, when it becomes part of an ethos, a day-to-day ethos, because as you know, there's no specific subject. It's a whole day of things. So that can be a lot more difficult.
It can. And the big difficulty in primary school is when they brought in the integrated curriculum, so you didn't have discrete subjects. Mm-hmm. And religion in particular was just taught straight across that. Almost every subject had elements of religion instruction within it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the key thing to look at it, the key way to look at it is that the state should, we're talking about state-funded schools here, the state should respect equally everybody's right to freedom of conscience and religion and belief. And the only way for the state to do that equally for everybody is for the state to remain neutral and not fund schools that teach one way or another as truth. And to use the example that you're talking about in America, Republicans and Conservatives, they don't have Republican schools and
no, but you have Christian schools. Yeah, but you do have Christian schools and you have schools.
You do, and that's fine.
Or Republican states like Florida, Texas, places like that, you wouldn't get the same things taught in primary school as you would in other places like California, for example. So what I'm saying is, the parents are there to guide us. And also sometimes I believe, and maybe Ronan wants to come into this, although I'm not a believer in God, I do believe that religious morals sometimes stop us running away with ourselves. Am I wrong in saying that, Ronan?
No, I mean, I think Christianity is, you know, people like Douglas Murray talk about this a lot, Tom Holland, his book Dominion. I mean, I think in terms of the Western world and the achievements of Western civilization and so much of the values that we take for granted around, you know, human dignity and so on, I think in the Western tradition, that is really rooted in and comes from the Christian Revolution, which was the idea that we're made by a loving God and that therefore each of us has awesome dignity. Your life is special. You have a deep meaning and purpose. That's not to say that there aren't atheist and agnostic people who have a fantastic moral value system who are extremely ethical and so on. But I remember Jonathan Sacks, the late British chief rabbi, was asked once, you know, can we be good without God? And he said, well, yes, yeah, we can, but only for a while. He said, it's like the conductor, you know, leaves the stage. You have harmony for a while, but gradually discord will set in. Now, that's a point of view. I think it's a very credible point of view that somehow the
Do you believe if we take religion out, that suddenly education will fall apart to the seams and become morally
poisoned in some way? Nothing will happen suddenly. But I agree with Michael about, you know, the goal, which is that everybody's, you know, freedom of religion and belief, including non-belief, you know, the freedom to change your religion, freedom to have no religion, that these are important values. But I don't believe that a kind of an agnostic state somehow represents a neutral value system. Because if you think about what education is, it isn't just about facts. It isn't just about, you know, preparing people for the market. It isn't just about teaching them to read, write, and arithmetic. We can let AI do a lot of that stuff if that's all education is. Education is about values right from the very beginning. And what you propose, let's say in a situation, for example, where somebody dies in the classroom or there's a terrible tragedy, you know, do you encourage people to pray for each other? You know, do you encourage people to pray for the person who has died or the person who is suffering? You know, the state and the state system and the education system that is agnostic on that can't propose that. So I think the healthier way is to try and move, you know, gradually, evolution rather than revolution, to the point where there are kind of as many options as possible in the types of schools. But there are a lot of people of faith, people of no faith, people who maybe have various levels of strength of faith, who somehow still, they kind of, you ask them, say, do I want my children to be kind of taught as truth that they are made by a loving God? Yes, I do. You know, there are many, many people who will want that. And for them, That is such a fundamental value because it's linked in with a deep interior security.
Well, let me ask Michael
that. To leave it out of the education system is to fail to propose something.
Michael, would it not be fair, and I've suggested this in the past, I think I suggested to you, Michael, we were on, let's just go to show you how long this argument is going on, myself and yourself were on breakfast television about 10, 15 years ago debating this very fact, that why not, you know, there's 3,200 national schools, I think, somewhere around that in this country, why not, you know, the state take back half them and say, okay, we're going to make these schools, you know, non-denominational, essentially, that they would just have a theology class, which is what you're suggesting, and the other half continue in Catholicism. Because let's be clear about it, we are a Catholic country.
Okay, we're not a Catholic country. We're a country with a lot of nominal Catholics in it. A lot of them don't.
Michael, come on, be fair. We are a Catholic country. Ireland has been based on Catholicism throughout. It's rooted in its history.
Ireland has been oppressed by Catholicism for a long time, and we're gradually making our way out of that and towards an increasingly secular state that respects the right of Catholics to be Catholic and the right of atheists to be atheist, but not the right of either of those groups to impose either Catholicism or atheism on people who don't believe it. And what the state should be doing, you literally cannot have a school for each religious or philosophical belief in each part of the country, because there simply aren't enough schools to do it, and in many cases there's only.
But we've made no attempt to rectify that problem.
No, we haven't. In fact, we have. The government had put up a target of 400 multi-denominational schools and no non-denominational schools by the year 2030. They've dropped even that target from the current program for government. That they're not even doing that. But even if they did that, you'd be nowhere near addressing the problem. Mm. And in fact, the Catholic Church are trying to negotiate that if they give up some schools to multi-denominational patron bodies, that they would have a stronger Catholic ethos in the schools that they retain, which would mean that in practice, in the many, many parts of the country...
Well, that would be fair, wouldn't local it?
School, no, because in many parts of the country, there's only one local school that would remain a Catholic school, and parents of minority faith or atheist or humanist parents would not only not have access to a slightly better school, but would have an even more Catholic school as their only realistic option to send their child to.
I mean, Ronan, just finally, in relation to what I said to Michael suggests that Ireland is not a Catholic country. When I say not a Catholic country, it's a country with a lot of Catholics in it, but not a Catholic country. Do you really believe Ireland is still, you know, the happy Catholic country that it always was? Now, I know, by the way, Catholicism has had its problems in the past. We're all well aware of that. But we also know, and we can't deny, there's been a lot of good. For example, our education system, our healthcare system was built by the Catholic Church. The state handed over, like it does to NGOs nowadays, handed over responsibility, sometimes badly, but sometimes it's done very well as well. So we can't deny that some good work has been done by the religious orders. But in saying that, are we really still a Catholic country, Ronan?
I think in lots of ways we are still drawing from strong Christian traditions. I mean, it depends on the issue. I mean, if you look at, for example, abortion, we no longer protect human life as it's very earliest stages. That's clearly a post-Christian element of reality. If, on the other hand, you look at the fact that people are still very generous, for example, to charities, a very strong missionary tradition that we had is still kind of, I think we still punch above our weight, for example, in terms of international humanitarian endeavour and contribution. If that's true, I think that is to some degree drawing on our Christian roots. So it really depends on the issue. And I suppose we're all a mixture. You know, there's no two human beings on the planet the same. I think
we are changing, aren't we? I mean, you mentioned abortion. You mentioned abortion. 20 years ago, you would have never got 67% of the population.
Yeah, exactly.
Or those voting.
I was going to ask Michael to engage in a thought experiment, though, which is if you could guarantee every single person the type of school that they wanted for their children, and let's say 35% of them wanted Christian schools where basically Christian faith is proposed, you know, where everybody is respected, where we teach about other religions, where we talk about freedom of religious belief, and, you know, that you can never coerce religion, but in the end that religious, you know, the Christian values are proposed as normative. And if everybody in that school wanted those values, would Michael be happy that the state would fund them?
Well, if to continue on the thought experiment line, if in the same area...
No, will you answer that one, though? Because what I was debating Greed Smith the other night is that, you know, the bottom line was no.
Hang on. Reed Smith might have answered differently to what Michael is going to say. So I'm interested, before you ask him another part of the thought experiment, Michael, maybe just answer that question. If those parents wanted that Catholic school in their area and that's what they wanted, would you be happy enough for the state to fund it?
Okay. Now, because it's a thought experiment, I have to qualify the yes. I would say yes, but only if there was also enough schools of every religious and non-religious philosophical conviction in that area, which isn't practical. And therefore, it's a hypothetical thought experiment that can never happen in practice.
But if a very well, at least you can see
there are literally
that the state should fund what
people
want
and non-religious beliefs. Yes, but funds, but not so much funds for what people want, but funds equally for everybody.
Yeah,
but
you can dismiss Michael too. Michael, to be fair, you can dismiss a lot of religious beliefs in this country. When I say dismiss them, I mean, for example, how many Jewish people are in Ireland? You know, we don't really need a huge amount of schools for Jewish people. How many Hindu people are in Ireland? We don't need a huge amount of schools for Hindu people. How many Muslims are in Ireland? We need some, but we don't need a huge amount. The majority of people in Ireland still, according to the census, by the way, have themselves down as a Christian or a Catholic.
But if you are talking about treating everybody equally, it's not how many of a particular belief system there is in the country. It's how it's where they are located geographically around the country. So if there, even if there was a belief that only had 1,000 members, and they were distributed over, say, 500 different locations in the state, then you would need 500 schools in order to provide that.
So practically, the answer is no, Ronan. Theoretically, yes, but practically, no. Yeah. So why, Ronan, do you believe
that the majority?
You believe the state should fund that school, Ronan, I assume.
Yeah, I think we've got to try and evolve to a situation where we're giving most people what they want as much of the time as possible. And there is a huge number of people in this country who would not recognize, you know, just stating now we're never going to talk about religion. I mean, two most interesting things in my view in the world are religion and politics. You know, so this kind of pub talk approach that, oh, we won't discuss religion in school. Or we might talk about what different people believe, but we actually won't propose. For example, we can't pray for Johnny's dad, who has just died, because 5% of the people may not believe in God, and the parents will be objecting. That's the kind of
nonsense,
you know, crazy intolerance you end up with if you pursue Michael's principle to its logical extreme, I think.
And I do agree with that, Michael. You know, it's like, for example, you can't make a Father's Day card in a class because little Johnny down the back sadly lost his dad last year. You know, everything has to be done to satisfy the majority, I imagine.
Well, could I ask Ronan a
very quickly, if you can, one question.
Because it's the same basis as the question he asked me. Currently, there are far more multiples of Church of Ireland schools than would be appropriate if you divided it proportionally by the amount of Church of Ireland members in the country. Roland, would you support closing down those Church of Ireland schools?
Well, I tend to favour you do more for the minority, you know, if they're in a minority, but you don't give them absolute the same amount as the majority. You know, do you know what I mean? I would believe in positive discrimination in favour of religious minorities to enable them to protect and to guarantee their traditions, because the strength of a democracy isn't just, you know, accrued majority wins. You look out for your different minorities. And in fact, part of what's happening here is, in terms of Catholicism, in terms of public debate and so on and so forth, is that numerically people might be a majority in the census. But in terms of the political establishment and people who drive the media, there is much more hostility towards religious faith. And I think that is influencing this debate.
Well,
it's not accusing you of it, Michael.
No, we've seen evidence of that yesterday when Micheál Martin put up a tweet, by the way, congratulating Muslims on their celebration day, whereas a lot of people are saying, you know, you couldn't even wish everybody a happy Mother's Day, but yet you could celebrate a religion. I suppose that, you know, would be new to Ireland.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, let's congratulate people in minority traditions, unless there's something very dodgy going on.
I'm not suggesting that, and he should celebrate. You know, he should obviously congratulate and celebrate with people as well, but he should also celebrate with Christians as well. He should also celebrate Irish families.
Should we have the prayer? It's a bit like, should we have the prayer at the back of the Dáil and Seanad proceed, at the start of Dáil and Seanad proceed? Ivana Batry proposed a few years ago, let's get rid of it. I propose, let's have 30-second silence that recognises everybody's sincerity and solemnity around their duty, and then let's have the prayers, because you don't hollow out your traditions either.
Okay, listen, you know, lads, unfortunately I've run out of time. Michael, I'll just give you the last word there if you can. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, just a very simple thing. The state has a right, as it says, a duty to treat all people equally and to protect their right to freedom of religion or belief. The only way for the state to do that is for the state to not take sides on the issue of what is and isn't true theologically or philosophically, and to provide schools that teach children about religions and beliefs in an objective, critical and pluralistic manner.
All right, well, listen, lads, thank you very much indeed. Senator Roland Mullen, Michael Nugent from Atheist Ireland, I appreciate both of you coming on the air. It's a debate that'll be had for the next 15 years, I imagine, as well. Thank you both. It's a debate that I've been having for the last 30 years. But anyway, I want to get your opinion. Should we take religion out of Irish schools? Similar to America, by the way, where all public schools in America have to be non-denominational. In other words, they can teach theocracy, but they can't teach any one specific religion if it's a public school. Let me know what you keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. An argument and debate that's been going on, as I said, for 30 years. Should we take religion out of Irish schools? Let me go to David Graham, who's from Education Equality. David, hi, how are you?
Well, hi, Niall. I'm very good, thanks.
David, it's an interesting, and I'm trying to be balanced here because I am an atheist, right? But I do have great respect for people who hold religious views. And I do believe that the morals of religion can be very good sometimes for society. So it's a kind of difficult one, isn't it?
I don't think it needs to be as tricky as all that, really. I mean, what we're proposing at Education Equality is essentially that schools would be a neutral space with respect to religion. Now, that doesn't mean that religion wouldn't be discussed. Of course it would. I mean, but it can be discussed or taught about in an objective and critical manner without giving, without favouring any particular religious worldview. And I think in Ireland, when we talk about religion, it tends to kind of provoke people on both sides and sort of provoke a kind of knee-jerk reaction. So the analogy I would give is maybe by suggesting that you could teach children about politics, for example, teach children about civics, but you don't necessarily have to teach politics from, let's say, a Fianna Fáil perspective or a Fine Gael perspective or a Labour perspective.
That's not a fair analogy, is it? Because Ireland primarily is a Catholic country. Ireland is not primarily a Fianna Fáil follower, although you wouldn't believe that in the last election. But Ireland, you know, we've got a choice of political parties and always have had. Where we really always haven't had a choice of religions, there was primarily one religion, which was Catholicism. So we are, and 85% of the census says still claim to be Catholic.
Yeah, we certainly don't have a choice of schools, Niall, in the same way that we would have a choice of political party when it comes time to vote. But, the CSO statistics are actually quite clear when it comes to religion. I know people tend to focus in on the headline figure, which is the 69% figure. But that actually is taking the entire population as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you look at younger age groups, the picture is very different. So, for example, I believe you're based in Dublin, or at least your station is based in Dublin, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Is that correct? Yeah. Okay, so half of your listenership is not Catholic, for example. Just take that, just by way of an example. Mm-hmm. So only 53%
of the population. Well, when you say not Catholic, don't practice, even if they are, born Catholic or baptized, they may not practice their religion.
Well, I'm just going by the same statistics that you're referring to, which are the CSO census figures. So there's 53%, and likewise in younger age groups, only 53% of 25 to 29-year-olds identified as Catholic in the last census. Here's another fact for you, by the way, Niall, because you're talking a lot there about demographic change. I just don't think people necessarily appreciate just quite how stark the change is. When you talk about Ireland being a Catholic country, the percentage of the population identifying as Catholic has declined in every single census for over 60 years.
Oh, I know that. I do know that, yeah.
60 years. Like, that's a long time now. I know that's from a very high base. But nevertheless, the figures are falling quite sharply, and particularly in younger age groups. And that's why often at Education Equality, we refer to the marriage figures, not only to the census figures, but also to the marriage figures, because that's a kind of a more relevant demographic. Now, obviously, not all parents are married by any stretch of the imagination, but for those parents who are, or those couples who are married, and there's more couples now marrying in a non-religious ceremony than a Catholic ceremony, for example.
Yeah, I do. I heard that figure, but it's below 50% now, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's only 34% according to the last figures in 2023. So, there's a danger in all of this kind of discussion, though, when we talk about numbers, because then it kind of sounds like I want to pit one group against another, and that's really not what our campaign is about, or it's not what education should be.
Even Senator Ronan Mullen admits that there has to be freedom of choice, and we admit, I don't know how many Catholic schools there are in Ireland, national schools, I think there's somewhere over 3,000, right, national schools in Ireland, something like
that. Yes, yeah.
So if we were to take, and he even accepts, if the state was to take ownership of 50% of those and make them non-denominational and still give that choice to parents who are listening tonight who want their children brought up in a school with a Catholic ethos, and a lot of parents still do, would that not be a fair solution?
Well, I mean, it's very, very hypothetical when we talk about taking half of the schools and bringing them under the state's control, but particularly because we spent about the last 15 years trying to divest even a much, much smaller number, and that hasn't happened. So it's extremely hypothetical when you talk about what if we did this and what if we did that. Like, the fact is, the reality is we've tried to do this. Now, the government has...
The state are funding them all anyway. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we are now funding them. Yeah.
Precisely, and that's something that, I mean, that has pretty big implications as well. The state funds, so that all taxpayers, irrespective of their religion or beliefs, fund our education system. They're fully funded. But just to go back briefly to this target of 400 multi-denominational schools by 2030, now that's the government's target, or supposedly, you know, that's still the government's target. We have currently 156 schools that are multi-denominational. Now, just to give you an idea about how far off track we are, it'll be 2171 at the current rate of divestment before we hit 400 schools. And that's not even the worst
part.
Well,
I did mention 2 minutes ago, I've been having this debate for 30 years and it's never changed. So,
But here's the thing, right? So let's say, right, in 150 years' time, and you know, I don't want to be morbid now, Niall, but you and I and your listeners aren't going to be around in 150 years, right?
No. But the way I feel at the moment, I won't be around in 150 days, but go on, sorry.
but come here, here's the thing, right? Let's say that the government waves a magic wand and manages to make this happen a little bit sooner than we're projecting, you know? That still only equates to 12% of schools. So
here's my argument, David, right? And as I said to you, I'm an atheist, right? So I don't believe in God. Yeah. And I understand why young people don't believe in, a lot of young people don't believe in God. Because nowadays, you know, in the old days, you know, back 50 years ago, people just believed what they were told. Young people particularly. You were told this in school, so it must be true. But nowadays, kids have access to education much more. It's not the local library anymore. They have a world of information at their fingertips. They can look up stories that are in the Bible and see the real story or whatever it is, right? And find out, could it be possibly true or could it not be true? And, you know, a belief in God, et cetera, and by the way, let's never, by the way, discount the existence of God, because even the best atheists in the world have said there's always a possibility that there's a God. Hedge your bets.
Of course.
But here's the thing. So even though I'm not religious, I still believe in the morals of religion. I think marriage is a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't like the idea of divorce. Don't get me wrong. I'm divorced. But I don't like the idea of divorce. You know, marriage is a good thing that holds people together sometimes for the sake of the kids. I do believe bringing children up morally, you know, as Christians, provided you don't overdo it and indoctrinate them into some sort of head cases, I believe is okay too. You know, because I think sometimes religion, you know, or Christianity or the morals of Christianity can stop us running away with ourselves when it comes to progression in society.
Well, look, I mean, this is we're about 300 years after the Enlightenment here. So I think that most people have managed to disentangle the concept of morality and the concept of religion. They really are two separate things now.
Are they?
But I mean, of course they are. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, if you think back, let's say, roll the clock back 50 or 60 years there, Niall, when Ireland was at its most Catholic, its most Christian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it a very moral society?
Well, no, when we look back, we had dark history.
Women.
Oh, yeah.
The number of children that faced, you know, not just sexual abuse, but physical abuse and emotional abuse. Now, none of this, by the way, is a value judgment against conscientious Catholics or conscientious Christians for a moment. But I would ask people to reflect critically on Ireland as it was back in the 1940s and 50s
and 60s. But let's not just blame the Catholic Church. Yes, blame proportionately the Catholic Church. Well, I was born in a mother and baby home, by the way. So let's not just blame the Catholic Church for that. The state had a hand in that. Parents had a hand in that. You know, in allowing that to happen too, because they turned a blind eye to authority. So there was a lot going on at that time. And yes, the Catholic Church had a huge stranglehold over people. And I completely agree with you. But we also have to, and as I mentioned to Michael Nugent just before the break there, the Catholic Church are responsible for a lot of good as well as bad.
Mm. Yeah, but like, irrespective of what particular value judgments you make about Christians or Catholics or whatever else, like, the fact is, you have a right not to be Catholic. It's not a very difficult thing to get your head around, you know? Like, I sometimes think, and again, I'm going to throw another analogy at you, like, but I've had the experience, certainly, when I'm abroad, I might bump into people from the UK and they say to me, oh, like, it's great to meet fellow Brits out here, and I have to kind of politely point out to them, you realise... I'm Irish. And they go, yeah, so you're Brit. No, I say, that's a separate thing. Like, that's not the same. So it's a little bit like that, I think, for many people in Ireland who are non-religious. It's like, we're non-religious. It's a real thing. Like, it's not, in the same way that if I say I'm Irish rather than British, that's not me attacking British people. If I say I'm non-religious, and many, many people in Ireland now consider themselves non-religious or spiritual or whatever formulation of words you wish to use, that isn't an attack on anybody else, but it's simply a statement, a positive assertion of who they are. Mm. And people have a human right and a constitutional right to have their children educated in their local school without attending religious instruction. Mm. There's a right there that is set out under Article 44.2.4, which is crystal clear. I mean, dare I say it, Niall, a child could understand the language in the Constitution.
Yep.
It sets out a right of any child to attend any school, receiving public money without receiving religious instruction at that school.
Well, unfortunately, at this moment in time, that would be extremely difficult, right? For most parents who don't have the option to send their kids anywhere else because they might live in a rural Ireland or whatever it is. So that would be difficult because you're going to alienate the child or have to collect them from school for an hour or something like that. And in primary school, it's practically impossible because it's not so much just a religious class, it's an ethos as such. So it's across the board. So it would be a lot more difficult even in primary schools. So here you go, David. The solution, as far as you're concerned, is there's no compromise. It's just remove religion from schools and just teach theology instead.
Well, I would disagree with you suggesting that that's not a compromise. I would say it is a compromise. I mean, basically, the religious instruction currently takes up about 30 minutes a day. These are classes. They're supposed to happen every day in nearly every school. Now, in practice, in many cases, they don't anyway. A lot of teachers will privately admit that they try and kind of keep it to a minimum. But it does vary from school to school. But in any event, you know, what we're proposing is that those classes, religious instruction classes, now that would include sacramental preparation during the, you know,
yeah,
the
communion, confirmation. Yeah.
So that would include that. But outside of those years, you really are just talking about 30 minutes a day. And we're suggesting, look, you just move that to the end of the day and you offer it on an opt-in basis. So instead of this thing of it being an opt-out, it becomes an opt-in. It becomes a positive affirmation, if you like, of somebody's beliefs that they say, yes, I want this and I want to opt my child into this. Now, if we don't do that, just to give you and your listeners a sort of a sense of the kind of things that happen right now at the moment. So there are classrooms in the country where over half of the children are opted out, for example. Now, I'm not making that up. That's real. Like we have a very successful Instagram account. If any of your listeners are on Instagram, they can go to Education Equality Ireland and they can read some of the stories there. There are classes with over half of the children opted out. They're basically excluded from the class, you know, more or less every day. So that's an example of what happens. I'll give you one little anecdote. And again, this is a true story, you know. So we had Ash Wednesday there a few weeks ago, as you know. So what happened with one particular parent, for example, she's a teacher. She teaches in a separate school to her where her child goes. Her child is opted out and has been since her child started school. She received a phone call, strangely enough, from the school on Ash Wednesday asking her if she wanted her daughter to receive ashes. And she was a little bit taken aback because of why did she need to get this phone call? She said, of course, I don't want my child to receive ashes. Like, you know, my child has been opted out since they started school. And no, I don't want my child to receive ashes. Guess what happened? The child received the ashes anyway.
Right. OK.
And that happens all the time, like whether it's ashes or whether it's holy water. We've even had cases where children who are opted out, they haven't been baptized.
I understand these things can happen. And is it the end of the world, David? You know, I'm not belittling, you know, a parent's right, and it is a parent's right. If a parent says no, it should be no. But it's not like they're being given, you know, I don't know, an injection or something like that. It's ashes on their forehead. I mean, is it the biggest deal in the world?
Biggest thing in the world. I mean, there's worse things that can and have happened in schools, but that doesn't mean we should stand for it in this day and age.
Okay.
I mean, we either believe in human rights or we don't. You have freedom of religion and belief. And can I just go one further there?
Yeah.
What on earth does religion mean? What does it mean if it's forced on people? It means very little, and that's the problem. Like, the irony here is that...
I don't agree with indoctrination either. You know, I'm that concerns me too when children are forced to believe in something. So I don't agree with the idea, the old idea, which was 50 years ago, of beating religion into kids and indoctrinating them and then you must believe in God. I do believe they should be given an alternative view of life. So I do believe in that as well.
But there's like the concept that we're promoting is not a new one. It's fairly straightforward. It's one that was recognized in the Constitution back in 1937, which is that children have a right to go to school without attending religious instruction. That includes a right to go to school and not have ashes put on their forehead if their parents don't want it. It means having a right not to have holy water splashed in you. It means having a right not to be made to make communion. That happened to somebody, by the way, where a child was ushered to the front of the church and took communion, even though that child had never set foot in a church outside of school, hadn't made their, you know, hadn't been baptized.
I'm not averse to your idea of having, you know, a class at the end of school day. And if parents want their kid to stay back and opt into that, and a teacher is willing to stay back and teach it, and it doesn't cost the state too much money to do that, because obviously there's a cost factor involved, I'm not averse to the idea. So I think it's probably be a very good idea. But listen, David, I've run out of time, unfortunately. David Graham from Education Equality, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on talking
to us. Thank you, Niall. Thanks, you. Bye-bye. Good talking to you.
If you want to get your thoughts, by the way, as well, you can text or WhatsApp 087. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Not too bad. And yourself, Niall? Good. I'm glad you're back now. Hopefully you're all better now, Niall.
But I'm not all better, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, yeah, about the religious ceremonies there now. And you think about it, right, Niall? How many people go into the church for the birth of God at Christmas, and nobody goes ever since?
Yeah, no, I know. A lot of people take advantage of that at Christmas. I mean, yeah, look, I'm a big lover of Christmas now, but I generally wouldn't go to Mass at Christmas.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. And then, sure, it's like that as well. The communions or the confirmations, they tell you, like, oh, well, your kid has to go to every Mass every month for the next 12 months, or they're not allowed to make that communion or confirmation. I think that's very wrong.
Why is that? Well, why is that wrong? If you want to be part of the club, surely you have to do the time.
Because I think it should be really up to the adults, and they say, well, if they want to bring their children to their masses, you know.
But I do understand that. If you want to make your confirmation or communion, right? And I didn't know that was a rule, by the way, that they had to go to Mass for 12 months running up to it. I didn't know that was a rule. I don't even think most people. So how would they know? They don't check, do they?
And it was like that. But then, Niall, it'd be Niall, do you know what? It'd be the same people and the same parents who'd be going there every month, right? And some parents might never bother going. And then, obviously, then the last meeting or the last Mass, oh, sure, we get the son or the daughter to come on the last Mass. But yet they miss the 11 Masses before that.
Aside from anything else, I would say the vast majority of children, and I'm going to say the vast majority, just to guess, the vast majority of children making their communion are walking down that aisle not thinking of holy God. They're thinking of how much money will I make. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And their dresses and their shoes and their whole lot. And look, they're going up there to receive the body of the Christ. Do you know that way? And then, like, you have to do then, I think, the Saturday after they make their communion. And when are they going to be in a church again?
That's it, really, isn't it? The next time they'll be in a church, it's like, a confirmation or a funeral.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then, like, they're supposed to be bringing in the religious... the religion now for the leaving cert now next year, right here, there now, and it's compulsory that you have to do it.
Well, I don't know about being compulsory, but certainly I know you can do it in your leaving cert if you want. A lot of kids do it because they say it's easy and you can get points for it. But in saying that, let's get back to primary school. Do you believe that it's important to have religion in primary schools in education?
To be honest with you, no.
No.
Because, like, I remember, when my kids were small, right? And they had, like, a growing love book, and they come home and they do it maybe for 10 minutes and then they close the book.
Yeah.
And they get that maybe once a week or something. Okay, like, I know we're all going to be religious in our own way and we say, God, thank God, like, we have our families and our kids and all are all well. But, like, I have to be honest with you, I don't go to Mass. You know, and the only time I really go to Mass, God forgive me, is, like, if you have a funeral or a wedding to go to, and that's
ironic, you said, God forgive me.
Yeah, but like my dad, but now I'm saying that, like, my dad would go to Mass like every Sunday, do you know, when he did, like.
Some people, primarily older people, tend to be very religious. Yeah. Ireland. But stay there for a second. Cormac, I just want to bring you in here. Jennifer is saying no, she doesn't think it's a value for young people now, really. Yes, older people obviously practice their religion a bit more, but not younger people. Are you there, Cormac?
Are you talking to...
I am,
yes,
Cormac.
I
yeah,
am. Sorry, I am. No, sorry. Yeah. I didn't just catch my name there when you said it.
That's okay.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It really astounds me when I listen to people like some of your previous contributors who wouldn't have had an education at all without religion, probably.
Well, none of us would have, because it was the state handed over responsibility to the church.
Yeah, are they blind as to what's going on in the world? This liberalism and anti-religion and class, the globalization liberal movement, which has proved to be very, very detrimental in the United States over an 8 to 12 year period, started by Obama and continued by Biden. The American people in their multitudes rejected this form of liberalism. And I would ask these people to consider this, the following fact. The greatest contribution to the societal behavior, without one shadow of a doubt, whether you're a religious person or not, are the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments encompass religious behavior as well as moral behavior and societal behavior.
Can we not have the Ten Commandments without religion? When I say the Ten Commandments, let me just say something to you. Before the Ten Commandments came along, and he stood up on the mountain and God sent down the lightning to make the Ten Commandments, right? Before that came along, murder was already illegal. You know, adultery was already frowned upon. Stealing your neighbor's goods was already frowned upon. All of those things were already morally wrong.
Yes, but nobody was living to the Ten Commandments. That's the whole point.
Oh, it was a different world. You can't compare that world to this world.
Yeah, no, but the proliferation of behavioral, societal behavior based on the Ten Commandments changed all that.
No, it didn't. Overnight it didn't change all that. That changed over thousands of years.
No, but the point I'm making was it codified a moral behavior. So to suggest that morals and religion are separate is absolutely ludicrous.
So what you're saying to me, well, without religion, you can't have good morals, is what you're saying to me.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it encouraged good morals. Mm. And it was the biggest influencer of moral behavior since time began.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
So, why? There's a very simple solution to this problem. You have a class 1 hour a day or 2 hours a week for religion. And you do it for each religion that's in the classroom. And the people who don't wish to attend a particular religious instruction take a civics class at that time. What's the problem with that? All you need is another classroom.
Well, David Graham did suggest there, by the way, they could just do it at the end of the day, and then anybody who wasn't interested could go home. Yeah.
Correct. I mean, why do we want to abolish the teaching of good moral behavior and good religious behavior in classrooms?
Now, I know there's people screaming at the radio saying that some of the religious instruction is not good moral behavior. Like, you know what I mean? Like, religion obviously rejected, gay marriage, which the majority of Irish people wanted. So they would say, then religion, you know, obviously is, they believe, is bigoted.
Well, you don't have to attend the religious class.
Mm-hmm. Well, do me a favor, stay there. Hang on, I want to bring Fiona in before the news. Fiona, hi.
Sorry, let me make one final point.
Yeah, go ahead, Carmen, come on.
Are people blind as to what went on in the United States?
No, I mean, 74 million votes. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Where religion was abolished in classrooms in certain states. And
it wasn't. Hang on. No, that's not true. In all public schools in America, it's illegal to teach any single religion.
You
can teach theocracy.
It's not going to be under the new administration.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of religious teaching in schools is now a federal law in the United States. And that was part of Trump's platform when he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of people in the United States have rejected liberal teaching and globalization in classrooms.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me just bring in Fiona on this. Fiona, hi. I've got 3 minutes. Go ahead, Fiona.
Good evening, Noel. Nice to hear you again.
Thanks very much indeed, Fiona. Fiona, would you be happy to take religion out of schools, or do you believe we should leave it there?
Oh, leave it there, for God's sake. It's the last bit of Irish left in us.
Oh, it's part of our culture, is that what you're saying?
Like, it's culture, it's everything, it's every bit
but
of
is,
us.
But is it really, according to one of my speakers earlier on, it's not really part of our culture anymore because less than 50% of the population practice religion now. Well, Catholicism.
But that's very unfair to real believers, like.
Yeah, but there's only 50% of you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, can you imagine me walking into some other religious place here and saying, listen, we've enough, you know, come on. Would I make it to the door? I don't think so.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do
so,
that.
Like, it's an insult. Yeah,
no more than they would walk into an Irish. No more than that person would walk into an Irish school and say, "Stop teaching religion." So, I wouldn't like them to do that.
Because, like, this is Ireland. We're Catholic Ireland. Well, you know.
But I argue that earlier on.
Would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, but
if you take.
Yeah, but hang on. I argued that earlier on, one of our speakers, and he did come out with statistics.
The communions. Oh, you have to take away the communions, the confirmations.
Yeah.
You must take away all of that.
Yeah.
So you're starving our children of God. It won't be happening to my grandchildren anyway.
Well, you said we're a Catholic country, and I made that argument earlier on, but statistically, we're not really a Catholic country anymore.
But that's not fair to say
I can say it because statistically it's probably true.
Like, it's like we're feeling dirty.
Culturally, we may be.
Well, we're dirty now because we're Catholic as well. I just think it's ludicrous. I do. If we want to go along with all these new world, as that gentleman said, one world religion and one world, off they go. But I know where my morals are.
Yes, I...
And mine are with the Ten Commandments that we got from Moses, that we got from God, and Jesus Christ died for us on the cross.
Okay, Cormac, hang on, Cormac wants to say something quickly.
The size of it, and my children...
Go ahead, Cormac.
It is the majority of religion. What other religion?
It is the majority religion, but it's still less than 50% of the population.
Well, therefore, Ireland is predominantly a Catholic country.
Well, yeah, but I was listening earlier on to the facts that were given out there, and it was like less than 50, like if you live in Dublin, for example, it's less than 50% of the population. Now, when you get to rural Ireland, it's obviously very different.
There's no other religion.
So we'll
even
have half a Patrick's Day so next year. Will we have a half a Patrick's Day next year?
No.
Because half of us are, like, it's lunacy.
That's like saying we shouldn't have Christmas, you know what I mean?
Something all the time, Niall. Why are we always giving up something? It doesn't matter, like, we shouldn't be made feel bad because we want to have our religion.
But no one's asking you to give up. People are not saying give up anything. They're asking for a compromise.
They're asking us to give it up to our children, surrender. Well, I'm not surrendering to no one world religion or whatever else is coming. I don't care. I'm a Catholic and that's about the size of it, and I'll be teaching my grandchildren what I was taught by my mother, who was not an unintelligent woman.
On that note, I have to wrap it up. I have to quit the news. Cormac, Jennifer, Fiona, thank you very much indeed. After the break, by the way, do you have any right to discipline your stepchildren? There's an interesting email from somebody here. But do you have a right to discipline your stepchildren? In other words, you know, if you get married for a second time and you have two kids and they have two kids or whatever it is, you have a right to shout and roar at their two kids, vice versa? Or is that entirely up to you?
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.